Well, good morning. Welcome to church. It's lovely that you can join with us today as we come as a gathered congregation to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to give him the worship that is due his name and to focus our attention on him. Let's start by turning to Romans chapter 5. Starting from verse 1, it says this. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Isn't that a wonderfully uplifting and reassuring scripture? Well, let's take that to heart as we lift our voices and sing Beautiful One and Build My Life. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the work of salvation that you put into place at the beginning of time. Thank you for the friendship that we can now have with you through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have come and made your home in us and that you walk with us along the way, changing us into something that is more like Jesus Christ. We lift our hearts to you this morning to say that we love you, to say that we are yours. You are our Lord and King, and we worship you today. And we join together now and say the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but over lockdown, I've started watching some programmes that perhaps I hadn't had opportunity to before. Daytime stuff like home renovation programmes, things like DIY, SOS and Grand Designs. But what I particularly enjoy is George Clark's Old House, New Home. So this is where a client comes with a property which in its time would have been perfectly adequate, but in this current day and age is maybe a little bit impractical. So perhaps the hallways are too narrow or the windows too small and the property's become quite dark and enclosed. And those quirky little features, which are so suitable for its time and actually quite beautiful, are just causing problems. And the building can't be used as its current owners would like it to. So they invite George to come in as an architect and to look on the property with a fresh perspective. And he will advise the clients on what could be done to transform the old house into a new home. I think we all love a bit of a transformation story, don't we? Whether it's the renovation and the restoration of a building or it's a good old rags to riches story. There's something heartwarming about the transformation of something old and perhaps redundant or faulty into something beautiful and practical and productive. It got me thinking, though, as these things do, as a church, we're heading towards reopening again and getting back to normal and things just taking on a flow that we are more used to. But it did make me think, are we fit for purpose? You know, on a practical level, is the building fit for purpose? Is it ready for reopening? And actually, with all these rains, it's highlighted that we've got a leak in the roof, which has been fixed this week. So in that sense, you know, we needed to be assessing what was going on with the building. But as a church, are we ready to start again? As a people group, are we fit for purpose, the purpose that we were created for? To glorify God, to make him look good, and extend his kingdom through the way in which we live our lives? Gosh, that's a bit of a challenging question straight off, I realise, but bear with. I think we've got an opportunity at the moment, before we get back into normality, to just do a bit of a reassessment of what we did before lockdown. Did it work? Is it some of the parts of it that we could tweak? And now's a great time to do that before we start. I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago as a congregation, Ben brought to us a model that the regional minister had highlighted to him. And it was the life cycle of a congregation. And it highlighted how if we aren't continually looking and assessing our practices and changing, that eventually the church will decline and the congregation will become staid, and it also will decline and church will become irrelevant. We don't want that to happen. And that was actually the catalyst for us looking at church and God giving us the vision for Breakfast Church, which is what we now do. But I just wonder if now is not also a good time to be thinking about that again. Let's just grasp this opportunity. And as church members, let's have a prayer, a real search into God's heart and ask him to reveal as a church what we should be doing in the next year or two. And that's on a group level, on a church level. And I just ask that we think and pray about that. You know, as a leadership, we haven't any ideas, but maybe it is just something that we should be thinking about. But we also need to think about it on a personal, spiritual level. And that's really the angle that I want to look at this morning through this message. Now, I'm not a builder, not at all. But I have seen a few building sites. And I know that before you can start any new work, you have to get the site clear of rubble to begin with. Get rid of all that's lying around, that's not used, that's in the way, things that are faulty, so you've got a clear surface to build on. So, here's my first question to you this morning. What rubble do you need to clear out of your life? What practices and habits have you developed that perhaps aren't serving you particularly well? I wonder if during lockdown you started working from home. But what's happened to that quiet time that you had on your commute? As you were going into work or coming back from work, you had that opportunity where you would listen to a devotional podcast or put on some worship music and just connect with God for a short time on your journey. But now that you work from home, well, you don't have that opportunity, and actually perhaps it's gone by the wayside and your habits are different now, and maybe you've just forgotten to include that element of connection with God in your life. Now, don't get me wrong, I know how hard it is to create boundaries and order in the chaos of a home life. As a mum, as a wife, and all the other roles that I have, they are basically carried out in the home, as it is for many of you. And it's really difficult to keep that ordered and to keep priorities in your life. But I wonder now if we could take an opportunity to think about, well, what has become habit in my life that perhaps isn't helpful? Have I pushed God aside in some way because something else has taken over? And I know that God has spoken to me a little bit about this in my devotional time in the last few months. And I've become aware of how much time that I might spend on social media or on my phone or iPad under the guise of relaxation. You know, for example, the kids might be watching television and I have nothing else really to do, so I'll just flick through Facebook or Snapchat or Twitter or whatever it is and just waste time. And before you know it, half an hour's gone past and I've achieved nothing and my head has been filled with nonsense usually, and I'm none the better for it. And God's just challenged me a bit on that I need to be a little bit more mindful about how I use my time, and that actually that relaxation is putting a barrier between me and God. I could be using that time to connect with him, between me and my husband, between me and the children, where I could actively be doing things with them and engaging with them, but I'm choosing not to, and I'm kind of shutting that down. So that's been my personal challenge. And actually, I want to look at a bit of scripture. We can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 19. And it says this: don't you realise that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given by God to you? You do not belong to yourself. So in making room for the news feeds of, you know, Facebook or Twitter or whatever, I've pushed out that space for the Holy Spirit. My inner room, if you like, as we're talking about buildings, that inner room has become noisy and cluttered. And how am I actually going to be able to hear God in amongst all that busyness? And in the end, it doesn't build me up at all, what I'm doing. John Mark Comer, in this book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, puts it this way: what you give your attention to is the person you become. Put another way, the mind is the portal to the soul. And what you fill your mind with will shape the trajectory of your character. In the end, your life is no more than the sum of what you gave your attention to. That bodes well for those apprentices of Jesus who give the bulk of their attention to him and to all that is good, beautiful, and true in his world. But not for those who give their attention to the 24/7 news cycle of outrage and anxiety and emotion-charged drama, or the non-stop feed of celebrity gossip, titillation, and cultural drivel. Again, we become what we give our attention to, for better or for worse. So what do you habitually give your attention to? How does that shape your mind and therefore your being, your very character? Perhaps it's good. Perhaps you can look at yourself and think, you know what, I'm fairly happy with what I'm doing with my time and where my mind is, and that's fantastic. But maybe this is an opportunity to clear out some rubble and just take stock of how you use your time. Paul tells us that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. So Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So I wonder if you could take a moment now just to jot down anything that the Spirit's brought to your mind as we've been talking about this. If you're at home, you might just want to pause the recording and just have a chat with God now while it's fresh in your soul. For those of you who are at church, just make a quick note of what the Spirit has been stirring in you and go back to it later. Okay, so the rubble has been cleared away. Now it's time to check the foundations to see if they are strong and ready to be built upon. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Starting at verse 24. And this is Jesus speaking. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Do you know why the Leaning Tower of Pisa is leaning? This great big tall tower has foundations that are only 10 foot deep, and they've been built on marshy land. So the ground is soft and it can't hold the building up properly. The people of Israel knew very well what Jesus was referring to in his parable. In Palestine, the land is full of hills and valleys, dry times, but also they get sudden storms and flash floods. So the people knew that if their houses were to withstand the weather, they would have to be either built above the floodline or built on solid ground, built into the hard bedrock of the land that wouldn't be affected when those raging currents sweep past it and batter the rocks. But if you built your house on land that looked easier to build on and might be sandy or have very little oomph to it and very little roughage and stone to hold it together, when the floodwaters come down, they will just erode that soil and wash it away, and the foundations of your home will be destroyed. So as Jesus told this story, his audience would very easily be able to imagine what he was talking about. But of course, in Jesus' story, he wasn't actually talking about house building. He was talking about our spiritual lives and what we build upon. Both builders in the story were people who listened to Jesus' teaching. That's quite interesting. They both heard Jesus' words. So they put themselves in a place, for example, like church, where they hear the word of God being taught. But how they respond to it is different. Are you going to church? Are you reading your Bible and praying? Brilliant. Great start. Keep going. But which builder are you after that? Don't just leave it at the hearing God's word and hearing the messages on a Sunday and attending church. Jesus very clearly makes a distinction between those who hear the word and obey and those who hear and just walk away. Both builders had the same opportunities, the same building materials, the same climate, the same storms. They both heard the same messages. And from the outside, both houses probably looked the same. You can't tell by looking at someone what their insides are like, can you? Yet only the one who obeyed Jesus' teaching had the strength to weather the storm. It's not that being a Jesus follower makes you immune to the trials of life. It really doesn't. And sometimes it makes our life more difficult. But if you work hard at building that strong foundation, building your life upon the Jesus way, then those foundations will enable you to withstand the stresses and strains and storms of this life. Sand builders tend to be quite self-sufficient and self-built. They will hear the teachings of the Bible, but actually, when it comes down to their life practices, they tend to rely on themselves and their own wisdom and the resources of culture around them to get through life. And unfortunately, when the storms come, that then shows up the foundations of what a person's life is really like. So these people may have accepted Jesus as their saviours, but they have not given him lordship of their lives. James writes it this way. In his letter to the Jewish believers in chapter 1, he says this. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So my second question to you this morning in this spiritual assessment is, how are the foundations of your house? Have you built your life on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? That finished work of Christ that is strong and enduring. Are you listening to and obeying Jesus' ways, putting into practice the principles that are taught to you week on week? Are you finding when the trials of life come that you've got something to fall back on? The person of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that will enable you to withstand those storms. Take a moment now just to pause and reflect before we move on to the next point. So in our assessment so far, we have identified and cleared away the rubble in our lives. We have checked the foundations upon which we are building our lives. But now I'd like us to consider what exactly we are building. Or perhaps from God's perspective, maybe he's saying, what house will you allow me to build in you? Well, from God's perspective, the opportunities are endless. The more that we surrender to him, the more that we give over our will to his and obediently follow his guidance and his practices, the more opportunities he has. God only uses the best materials. His touch can transform the dullest of colour schemes into the most beautiful and welcoming palette of colours. And of course, I'm not talking about the clothes that we wear or the wallpaper or curtains we put up in our houses. But I'm talking about our minds and our attitudes, our words and our character. If we have a tendency, for example, towards greed or hoarding things, well, that sits against God's biblical mandate to be generous to all. So that leaches the colour out of God's design for us. Perhaps we like a bit of a gossip, you know, that idle talk about other people that really we have no right to be sharing. Well, that detracts from and damages the beautiful godly spirit that is inside of us, that should be seeking to build up and encourage other people. Paul puts it this way in Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 5. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behaviour, slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you've stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We are representatives of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how we're doing with that. How are our life choices reflecting that? Perhaps now's the time to do a little survey of your life. What's motivating the choices that you make? What are you hoping to achieve by them? Are your goals in alignment with the goals that God has for you? To become more like him and to give him glory and extend his kingdom. Thing is, God wants to partner with you in life. He's not just giving us a list of rules to obey or characteristics that we must become. Life is a big adventure, and God wants to work with us, to journey with us on that, to give us his wisdom, to show us how to make the best of life on this earth before it's time to be with him in glory. There are things that you are uniquely placed to achieve because there's no one else like you. God has given you a unique character, personality, set of circumstances to work within. The people group who are your friends or colleagues or neighbours, that is unique to you. And God has placed you there, and he wants to partner with you in all your encounters with those people and all the decisions that you make. He has gifted you with skills and talents to bless others with. Are you using them? He'd love you to. That's why I gave them to you. Find out what they are. Find out how you can use them in church or in the community around you. The house that God wants to build is beautiful and amazing, and we can't comprehend it. But I think we can trust that he is the master architect. I'd like to finish with a quote that I found during my research. And unfortunately, it's anonymous, so I can't give credit to its author. But it does very well sum up this message that we've been thinking about today. The greatest house that God can have built for him is a life rendered up joyfully in obedience to him, a life lived in his service, a life that is the best mirror image it can be of the life of his son. That's the house that I want to build. Will you join me in that building project? It's a labour of love, reclaiming an old house and turning it into a new home. Are you up for the adventure? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to reflect this morning. Thank you for your words of truth that are spoken to our spirits. I pray that today we will not only be hearing those words, but we'll be reflecting on them and putting their wisdom into practice in our lives. I pray that we would truly become rock builders and not sand builders. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us to do just that. You never abandon us to this world, but you've left your Holy Spirit in order to empower and equip us for works of service in your kingdom. And I just want to bless our listeners this morning. I want to bless them with the perseverance that comes from digging deep in you. I want to bless them with patience that comes from endurance. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless them with a new vision of what you and they can do together, that they would be inspired and refreshed, and they would take up the challenge to build with you. In the name of Jesus, I pray, and for his glory. Amen. Let's join together and sing Christ Alone, Cornerstone.
Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone. Strong in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high, in the stormy gale, my anchor holds within a veil. My anchor holds within a veil. Christ sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord. Lord,
I'd like to finish by reading Paul's prayer and blessing in Ephesians chapter 3. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. And Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Happy building this week. God bless.